Let me ask you a question. It's a very simple question, but I need honesty. Okay? Honesty. Got that? Yep. Okay. Hands up if you are superstitious in any way whatsoever. Okay. There's a lot of you who are lying at this point. Let's prove this. Okay. Superstition is the belief in a supernatural force that may affect you for good or ill if you do or you do not do something. Okay? Hands up again. A few more. Okay, a lot of you are still lying. Okay. Right, let me see if you can help me to guess some of these superstitions and then we'll get some repentance going. Okay, what's this one? What's that one? What do you think it is? Right, okay, okay, that's stepping on a crack, okay? How about this one? What's that one, do you think? Before you blow the candles out, make a wish, that's right. And if you can blow all the candles out together, the wish will come true. That's what they tell us. How about this one? What's that one? Touch wood. That's it. Sometimes when people are a bit nervous, they say, touch wood, and they've got to find some wood quick. Okay, how about this one? It's got to be the... Yes? And it's got to be the left shoulder. Okay, it doesn't work if it's the right shoulder. It's the left shoulder. Okay? The belief is that the devil is behind you on your left side, you see? That's what they say. Okay, how about this one? Don't walk under a ladder. Yeah, I mean, there's good reason for not walking under a ladder because there might be something that will hit you, but that's a superstition. How about this one? Yeah, you do that, don't you? Yeah. Don't open an umbrella in the house, okay? How about this one? This is a Swedish one. And I've verified this because one person in this... I can't say that though, can I? It's you take 7 flowers on Midsummer's Eve and you put them under your pillow and you'll dream about your future husband. And I asked this person and she said, yes, it came true. Okay, what about that one? Now, some of you suffer from tetraphobia. If you're Chinese, Korean, or Japanese, you might suffer from tetraphobia. Any idea what that is? It's the fear of the number 4, because the word 4 in Chinese is very similar to the word death. And that's why mobile phone numbers with a 4 in are not very popular. And sometimes in buildings, there's no fourth floor in a Chinese building. In Britain, we suffer from a different kind of disease, and it's called triskaidekaphobia. Number 13. You find in England, sometimes there isn't a number 13 in the road. It goes from number 11 to number 14. So, 15. Well, it doesn't matter. There's no 13 anyway. Okay, okay. Can you think of any other superstitions in your family? Don't look through a window at a new moon. You come out and do this talk for me. Okay. Sounds like it's a lot in your family. Okay. Hands up if you have been superstitious in any of these ways in the past. Okay, that's better. Right. A few more of you being honest. Right. Well, in our Bible story today, we learn about some people who were very superstitious. There was in Jerusalem, at the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here is a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, the Pool of Bethesda is one of my favorite places in Jerusalem. We're going to go there in May if you want to come and see it. It's a beautiful place, and you can look down through 19 centuries of rubble down to where the Pool of Bethesda was, where Jesus met these people. And Bethesda was the place that provided water for the temple. And yet it was also a pagan place, a place where people went because they believed they would be healed. And that's why they hoped that the first person into the water would be healed. They thought that an angel would come and stir the water up, and the first one into the water would be healed. But that was a superstition. It's not true. Is that really how the God of the Bible would help people? Was he only going to help the first, or the quickest, or the strongest? Of course not. Because in our story, Jesus spoke and helped the person who was the weakest, who may have been there the longest. Can you imagine how it would feel like to be ill for 38 years? But what does Jesus say to the man? He says, "Do you want to get well?" That's a very strange question to ask somebody who's been ill for 38 years. But it points us to the fact that Jesus is God. He knew what the man was thinking. Because the man says, "Sir, I've no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And when I'm trying to get in, someone else gets down ahead of me." The man was alone and he was helpless. He was waiting for someone to help him. Waiting for something to happen to improve his life, maybe. He was probably wishing things could be different, wishing he could be first into the water, but his situation was helpless. And that's why Jesus picked on him, perhaps, because Jesus said, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Well, that's a crazy thing to say to someone who's disabled, unless you are God, and unless you can heal them. And the man obeyed, he trusted in Jesus, and he was healed instantly. And he went on and told lots of people about what Jesus had done for him. Now I wonder whether you identify with that man today. I wonder whether you are waiting for something to happen in your life. When I was a child, I spent an awful lot of my life waiting to grow up. And maybe you feel like that. Waiting for someone to help you. Waiting for your life to improve. Waiting for others to solve your problems. You don't have to wait. If you're a young person, you don't have to wait till you're grown up before you can serve God. What are some of the ways we've seen this morning that young people are serving God, even in our church? Hands up. What are some of the ways we've seen this morning young people serving in our church? Puppets? What else? The readings and the drama. That's just some of the ways. And the music as well. Music, drama, readings. There are many ways of serving God, even as a young person. And if you'd like to serve God as a young person or as a grown-up person, then let's talk about it after the service. But maybe you're waiting for something to happen, and God says to you, "You don't have to wait any longer. Let's get on with it." But maybe you are wishing that your life was different. If only I was a girl. Have you ever felt that? Okay, sorry. If only I was a boy. If only I had straight hair. If only I was taller or shorter or thinner or brighter or prettier or older or single or married or fitter or healthier. If only I could give up smoking. If only I could give up drinking. If only I could give up eating. Then I'd be happy. You know, some of us are wasting our lives wishing we could be different. Some of us are blaming other people for our situation. Some of us are bound by superstition. Jesus says to you and I, "Do you want to get well?" And the question for you this morning is, are you willing for Jesus to change you? Are you willing to obey Jesus? Do you want to change? Do you want to get to know God better? Do you want to serve him with your life? The question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Because when that man by the pool in Bethesda obeyed Jesus, he was able to get up because God's power flowed through his body. He had to be willing, and Jesus healed him. Some of you didn't put your hands up this morning, but I suspect that we all believe in something. People either believe in superstition that leads to fear, or they believe in a savior who leads us to freedom. In John 5:24, we have one of the greatest promises Jesus ever made. Very truly I say, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And that's what happened to that man by the pool of Bethesda that morning. He crossed over. As he obeyed Jesus, he got up. If you've trusted in Jesus, that's true for you too. You've crossed over from death to life. You have eternal life. So tell others the good news. But if you're not so sure, if you identify still with the man by the pool of Bethesda, then let's pray together now. Let's close our eyes and pray together. Lord Jesus, I identify with that man today, and I confess that I have been waiting for someone else, waiting for you, waiting for others. I've been wishing my life would be different, wishing things could be changed. Lord, I recognize now that the question I need to answer this morning is whether I want to follow you, whether I want to be the person you've made me to be. Lord Jesus, as you called us all to yourself, so I hear your call this morning, and I ask you to come into my life, change my life, and make me the kind of person you want me to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, tell someone today, tell Colin or myself, and we'll give you some literature to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. Thank you.